Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the Zudio in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two guys flapping gums and being chums, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
We are live at Anime Dallas 2023.
Woo! Oh, one of my favorite conventions. It's such a great weekend. It is Sunday, but man, the whole weekend's been awesome.
And we made a new friend this weekend, and we said, you got to be on our podcast. And we have her here right now. It is Caitlin Barr.
Hi.
Hi, Caitlin. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, my God. Thank you for having me. I'm geeking out a little bit.
Awesome.
How's your weekend going so far?
It's been super fun. I love doing events right here in Dallas because you get to see everybody. It's a familiar faces. Lots of my Houston buddies are here, too.
Yeah.
So
Caitlin is a voice actress now. One of the reasons I'm excited,
yes,
is that we actually have, of the few podcast episodes we've done reviewing animes, because we talk about all things in fandom, we did Chainsaw Man.
Oh.
So when I was like, oh, wow, that's actually a voice I know and have heard. And I
yeah.
It's been a part of your life.
So you did Himeno and Chainsaw Man. You was also doing Ruku and My Hero and so much. Your credits are really long. Very, yeah. Very cool. And also video games. And I've also played Borderlands 3. So it's perfect.
Sweet.
This is perfect.
Destiny.
Stuff. Yeah.
Is there a reaction that you get more this weekend for like more characters over some of the other stuff? Or is there anything that surprised you?
It's weird because every convention there's... It's different which character is going to be like more popular in the. I don't know if it's a regional thing. Like, I go to some cons where like everybody wants to talk about One Piece. I've been to cons where everybody wants to talk about Saint Seiya. You know, Chainsaw Man and My Hero are always, of course.
There you go.
This weekend it's been To Love Rue.
There you go.
Really old, etchy harem show that I worked on. I'm sitting here holding a Yami. My character is named Yami, Golden Darkness. I'm sitting here holding a doll of her that someone commissioned and brought to me as a gift.
What?
Oh, wow.
It is a custom-made doll. It's expensive. Wow. I don't know how much it cost them, but this was not just a small gift.
Am I allowed to handle it for a second?
Please, yeah. They actually brought me three of my characters. They brought me Reem from Dungeon Black Company and Chiaki from Laid Back Camp as well.
Take a picture, Scott.
Yeah, it's got the hair blades and everything.
She matches you guys' colors.
She is.
Oh, yeah. Branded.
Violent mascot.
Yeah.
Having somebody bring you a custom handmade gift, that's crazy.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
That is awesome.
I've seen, and not just that, like I've seen a guy came up earlier and was like, I'm the biggest To Love Rue fan. Check out my collection. And I was expecting him to show me pictures of figures, but he had just brought them all in a bag. Lots of little figurines of my character and another character he just... one by one laid them out on my table and showed me his collection. There's like there were like 10 of them. I was like, geez.
That's edging on the territory of like, okay, if you pull out like 50 figurines, then maybe we have to have a different conversation. Like, I've named them all and here's the scenes I've arranged them in, and I will recreate them all for you in the next 2 hours. Like, hold on.
Yeah.
Appreciate the work, but that's a little much.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I know everything about it.
No, that's awesome though.
Yeah, it was cool.
Look, she's even got Himeno on her.
Oh, I got this here.
Sweatshirt, yeah?
Yeah. It says Dark Fiction. It's the cover of Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
But with Himeno.
Yeah.
And she's got the dogs out.
And she's got the cigarette.
Yeah.
Always key.
Classic. The cigarette says Easy Revenge, too.
That's it.
Oh.
See? I just noticed that.
That's cool.
That was my easy connection to that character, because I am a delinquent and I do smoke cigarettes, but I like it. It's always the cool character. It's like, oh yeah, cool, smoke that cigarette.
Yeah.
But don't smoke cigarettes, kids. It's bad for you.
Well, even she in the show discourages Aki at first from smoking cigarettes because he's too young.
He's a minor.
Yeah.
That kind of blew up. Did you know going in to voicing Chainsaw Man, what was going to happen with it?
This one I did. Yeah. Sometimes it'll surprise you. Like, yeah, there's a sports anime. I won't get off topic, I swear, but...
No, go all over the place.
Go off.
We go all over the place, you can too.
Like, they'll surprise you sometimes. Skate the Infinity, I don't think any of us knew was going to be that big. Mm. Blue Lock is huge.
Yeah.
That didn't look like it was going to be big, to me anyway. And Chainsaw Man, we knew it had its reputation preceded it.
Yeah.
everybody wanted to be in that one. The audition process was fierce.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Mike McFarland, the director, whose praises I will sing on every podcast and every panel forever.
Always.
I love Mike. He directed the dub. He's also directed Attack on Titan and lots of other big titles, Tokyo Ghoul, some of One Piece. And he was the director, and the auditions went out to a pretty wide pool. They weren't open auditions, but it was a big pool that it went to. Hundreds, literal hundreds of auditions came in for each character.
Wow.
And Mike listened to every single one.
Wow.
That had to be over 1,000 auditions. I mean, I don't know. I'm speculating, but if it was hundreds for each character, it had to be.
Yeah.
And that's active listening. You can't just put that on in the background. It's like you have to pay attention and like see what this person is delivering.
And that's the same four or five lines over and over and over. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
do you have any of those stuck in your brain, the audition lines?
Don't die on Miyake. That's a big one. But I don't think they were word for word, because Himeno, the round of auditions that Himeno was in, she hadn't appeared yet, like,
gotcha,
in Japan either. So all we had to go on was like the concept art and the manga, which we never have time to prepare that much, but read the manga and keep up with that for every show. But definitely I did my research for each character and I tried to learn what I could, and Himeno was my favorite from the get-go. So... it's one of those that falls into place and
right on. Yeah. Oh, but also, you beat out a whole bunch of people. If you're saying the audition process was that extensive,
yeah,
that takes a little bit of gumption and courage to get through one audition. But that sounds like that wasn't your first audition. So where did that process start for you? Where did you get comfortable with auditions?
Oh, auditions. Okay. For anime, interestingly, they don't audition for specific shows very often.
Gotcha.
And that's just because of the nature of the schedule. It's both of the major anime hubs in Texas now, Sentai and Crunchyroll, are doing some. Largely, they're doing the dubs same release time as Japan, but like as closely behind weekly as possible.
Yeah.
So there's often just not time to audition for every show.
Gotcha.
Especially if we only have materials for episode one and we don't know who's gonna die the next week or who's gonna be a huge character, who isn't, there's so many unknowns. So generally, when I get cast in an anime, it's based on what the director already knows I can do.
Gotcha. So it's more the good crew around you and like having the people that know you and bringing you in and be like, because we've heard that, we've talked to some of the people from Blue Lock and they have a sort of similar experience. It was the director saying, oh, I have a friend that would, his voice is sort of the target of what we're going for. So we'll put him at least into consideration.
I believe both studios, and again, this is me speculating because I'm not on the inside, but I believe both studios they keep little samples of like, oh, here's everybody that can do like a mature woman, and here's everybody that can do a little boy voice, and here's a little clip, so that makes casting a lot smoother.
There you go.
they don't have time to miss with casting, so.
They got a schedule to keep.
Yeah.
According to the official Anime Dallas bio of you, you've been doing this for 10 years, so you started when you were 15, right?
Oh my God. See, this is why we're friends. Almost 10 years. Yeah. I started in the thing that I was in first came out in 2014, but I guess 2013 is when I started. So yeah, 10 years.
Yeah.
I count it as 9, but about 10 years.
You get to take the dark times out of that too. So like 7.5.
Yeah. I mean, time is a soup now.
Yeah, it is.
Like there was a little something that happened. Yeah. Just a quick little deviation from schedule.
I like that t-shirt though. Time is a soup now.
Yeah.
Get on board.
Yeah. It is. I was talking to Jay Hickman and I was like, I haven't seen you. When did I last see you? 4 years ago.
Wow.
Doesn't seem like it was. But,
yeah. So did you start in theater or, yeah?
Yeah, I started, I got my degree in theater, went to college for it, and I knew I wanted to be an actor. I never thought of voice, I was an anime fan, but I never thought about voice acting for anime as like a job. It's just, to me, in my head, that was like, oh, that's not something that's attainable. That's like that's for Beyonce, you know, like we don't get to do that. Us like right. normal people don't right. get to, but in reality it is just, you know, average people. After I got my degree in theater, I'm from North Carolina originally. I moved to Houston for my partner at the time's job, not my partner anymore, but thankfully I ended up in Houston. So, So I did children's theater for a while first, like theater for children.
Mm-hmm.
And the theater community in Houston is pretty, it's a pretty close Venn diagram with the voice acting community. It's almost a circle, you know?
Yeah.
I still to this day don't know who it was. I have my suspicions. I don't know who put me on the open audition list at Sentai. Someone did. I owe them everything, whatever they are. If you're listening, thank you. But somebody
mysterious
put me on
patrons. I love it. It's like an anime in itself.
Yeah. I would love to know who that was. That person probably doesn't even remember. But yeah, I got an audition, and the first thing I was cast in about a month later was Log Horizon. Kyle Jones was the first one to cast me. So
there you go. Nice.
We love him. We had him on our Anime Houston. We interviewed him.
Yeah, the cheese share, so. Kyle Colby Jones.
Yeah.
Can't leave out that Colby.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes.
So you gave us the hard and fast that you were already an anime fan. You already knew you wanted to be in theater. How was that such an immediate decision? What was it that you saw? You were like, oh yeah, theater for life. Let's do it.
I told this story in a panel, and it went over like so badly the other night. I thought it was going to kill. You know how when you set up a joke and you just think it's going to be good, and
I'm going to crush it.
Okay, we'll laugh.
Okay, go. Thanks. I had to preface it to make sure I got a good reaction. So you know it's going to be great. I have known I wanted to act since I was about 6 years old,
okay.
6 or 7. I don't remember exactly the year, but I was in my church Christmas play in the nativity scene.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, all the other kids were sheep, and I was the one donkey. So I decided that, you know, I that was time to be silly. And what I said in the panel was I made an ass of myself.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
That's what you
that's
have to say.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
That's a solid joke.
Yeah,
apparently, it was not in that panel. No one, it was crickets.
No,
it was so awkward.
It sounds
like a bunch of jackasses.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's
the,
great.
The donkey in the nativity play sparking the theatrical ambitions. That's wonderful. I like it.
It got a reaction out of people. Like, oh, look at the goofy little donkey kicking her feet around. Like,
you didn't have any donkey lines or anything, though.
Oh, no. We were supposed to just sit there, but I was wearing a donkey costume. Like, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
Like, I was, you know, hee-hawing and hopping around and kicking my feet everywhere. And I got a reaction out of people. And I guess in my child brain, I thought, like, that's cool. I want to do that more.
There you go.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
That's where the little seed was planted.
Yeah.
Do you have other, like, nerdy stuff you're into? We like to talk about nerd seeds. Like, little nerd seeds get planted in people when they're young.
Seeds.
And then they grow to be beautiful nerd trees.
Oh, yes.
And we like to celebrate the nerd trees.
Yep. I get that. I love video games. I love horror. I'm a huge horror person.
Yeah.
Recently, I've gotten into VTubers. I think VTubers are really cool.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's so many VTuber artists here. Artists that are doing art of VTubers in the vendors hall. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's insane. Yeah.
What is it about the VTubers that's pushing your buttons right now?
It's like anime in real time.
I got you.
It's crazy. And there's so, and they don't just do video games. There's cooking VTubers. There's improv theater VTubers.
I got you.
There's people that are, you know, building models or crafting or painting their nails or whatever. Like, just anything.
Oh.
But with an anime avatar in front of it. Like, and you can literally be anything. This girl's like, yeah, I'm Satan. You know, Iron Mouse is just, I'm Satan. this one over here is, I'm a cyborg, you know, or like, you can be anything.
It is the actual avatar.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's literally whatever you want to be. There's one I found recently, I believe his name is Noctopus. and it's a little octopus mascot character that sits on the head of a cute anime girl avatar because it's a guy. And he was like, well, I didn't want to, he's like, I didn't feel comfortable. Like some VTubers actually, I'm going to get on old.
Yeah, you're good.
This is now a VTuber podcast.
Nerd tangent.
Hey, this is what we do. This
Yeah.
You're feeling what we're putting down.
Totally. It's, you know, for some people, VTubing is an outlet for, you know, if you're gender nonconforming or something mm-hmm. like that. But for this guy, he was like, I'm not any of those things. I just know that the anime girl avatar is what people want to see.
Yeah.
So instead of putting my voice behind the anime girl avatar, I will be the little mascot on top of her head.
Mm. That's so, very creative. That's very clever.
So he's a little octopus guy and the girl is just silent. Mm-hmm. So people watch the girl and, you know.
That's so, almost the ultimate, like, marketing move. Like,
it's
be
genius.
Like, I got you with the cute girl, but I'm actually the frog under the hat this whole time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant.
So an octopus. I want to know, is it nocturnal octopus? Why is it an octopus?
I'm not even 100% sure.
Because he's not actually an octopus.
Not an octopus?
No, that's probably what it is.
The mystery thing, and I'm going to definitely have to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
So you mentioned video games. You not only voice them, you play them? You like them?
Yeah, I love video games.
Where do you go? How far do you go back?
Oh, I had an NES.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
What was the game for you? That hooked you forever. Because for him it was Zelda.
Yeah.
I know.
Mine was Super Mario 2.
Yeah.
I loved Super Mario 2.
There you go.
I had a boy in his blob. But I was little and I didn't understand
that
how
game
to get
was so
past
hard.
It was so like it didn't just dropped you in there.
It's like, why do I have jelly beans? What?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to do something with this?
I was not a bright child. I spent hours on that first when you're just running down the street to the store.
Yeah.
The opening moment. I could never get past that. I was like, but you can't go into the store. You can't proceed. This is the end. Yep. This is a boy and his blob, I guess.
Yeah.
But now we've advanced. The one thing I'm playing, because they just put this out on the Switch, they actually made a port specifically for the Switch, but they brought back Borderlands 3.
For Switch?
For Switch.
Oh, I didn't know that. I should know that, but I did not know that.
I'm letting the people know because I myself just found out about it, and it's awesome because they sort of built it from the ground up, so it's perfect for Switch.
But oh, heck yeah.
It just reminds me, man, Borderlands is its own universe. It's its own trip. I can only imagine that was just a fun time.
Oh, God. Gearbox sessions are some of my favorite.
Yeah.
They're the director, the voiceover director, he's called the V Overlord over there. That's his official title, I think. Joel McDonald, he comes from Funimation, comes from an anime background. He's now the voiceover director at Gearbox. So he directed, you know, Borderlands 3. I'm not sure when he started, but he's been doing it for a while. He's been directing the Borderlands games for a while. He directed me in Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's incredibly creative, so funny. Just one of those people that always has a joke, always has a response immediately, just very quick on his feet, very quick-witted guy. I will sing his praises forever as well. I love Joel McDonald. Those sessions, they're just a blast, man. And they, so when you're playing a character that's supposed to get hurt at all, mm-hmm. you'll record something called a fight grid. It's this big spreadsheet with all the reactions, all the noises you need to do for combat. Well, for Gearbox, for the Borderlands games, you know, there's getting caught on fire. There's freezing to death. There's electrocution. There's poison.
That's so funny.
So the fight grid will literally be, okay, we need, and I'm probably getting the numbers not exactly right because it's been a minute, but okay, we need 5 short on fire reactions, 5 little bit longer, a little more intensity reactions, 5 and then 5 that are just, this is your death and you're screaming and, you know, they'll usually break up the fight grid so that it's at the end of the session and so that you're not doing too many at a time because it will wreck your voice if you try to knock all that out at once. They're very good about taking care of the actor. They have a little tea cart in there and everything with all the goodies that you need for your throat.
Nice.
They'll usually split the fight grid up into multiple sessions and it'll be at the end of the session so that can be your last thing. Because they don't want to run out of voice. It's intense. It's the most intense, like physically intense voice acting that I've done has been for Borderlands.
Yeah, because default you would think, you have to do this character gets shot or this character gets meleeed. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But you forget Borderlands has the poison guns and the acid guns and the lightning.
Yeah.
Chiquette, can you give us a mutating scream because your flesh is falling off?
Yeah.
You're being eaten by a psycho.
Oh, geez. I don't even know.
All of those very, very specific things. Yeah.
That's what we always beat the drum every time. Our fans are like, every time you talk to a voice actor, you always say that voice acting is acting.
Yeah.
It's acting. Yeah. You know, because a lot of people are like, how do you get into voice acting? Well, you need to learn to act first.
Yeah.
Because you're not just making funny voices. There's all of that. Like, you have to, you need a little bit of training to be able to be like, okay, how do I get in the space of being on fire?
Yeah. It's hard. And to make it sound different, too.
Yeah.
Because the reason they make you do these huge fight grids and do so many is because when you're playing the game, you don't want to hear the same blood-curdling scream 50,000 times.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be a library.
Yeah.
So as an actor, the challenge is making that all sound believable, but not the exact same scream 5,000 times.
Your electrocution scream can't be the same as your on fire scream.
Yeah.
No. That's two different elements, my friend. They have two different pains.
Your face melting scream is totally different than those other two as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you said you studied theater?
Yeah. I have my degree in theater.
Oh, hell yeah. So yeah. What would you say was, what's your biggest takeaway from that degree in theater?
Ooh, there's some things that I still, some little things that I still keep in my pocket for sessions.
Yep.
That my professor, shout out Adam Twist, taught me back at Barton College.
Yep.
I remember he used to say moment to moment, which sounds so simple. It sounds so simple, but it's looking at every tiny detail and every tiny step of an interaction or a conversation or a character getting to a goal, rather than just having your mind on like the character needs to be over here.
Yeah.
The character needs to have this or want this or say this. Like, there's things leading up to that. And they all need to be represented in your performance, you know. Also, obstacle, objective, tactic.
I like it.
I love that one. Every character has an obstacle, objective, and tactic. They have an objective. They have what they want. They have an obstacle. That's what's in their way. And their tactic is how they're going to overcome the obstacle. So, yeah, just thinking about any character, even if it's, you know, woman 5B. What's the obstacle, objective, tactic?
There you go.
That's my favorite voice you ever did was Woman 5B.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Back to Kyle Jones.
Yeah.
I've had many, many people come up to me at cons and say like, can you explain this credit on your ANN page? It says that you're the voice of, annoying teeny bopper or, know-it-all gamer or whatever. Tentacle victim is one of them.
Oh, no.
Bikini babes, whatever. Like, Kyle, that's one of his little trademark signature moves is when you play a bit role in one of his shows or WALA, which is, it stands for With All Actors. It's group background noise, you know, chatter on the street or in the classroom or whatever. Anytime you do something small like that and you don't have a named character in something, Kyle will come up with something funny to call that in the credits. And so then Anime News Network will take that information and reflect it on your page as an actor. So people will be like, why? It's like you're the alarm clock or anything specific like that.
Yeah.
And that's thanks to Kyle mostly. Yeah.
No.
But I would appreciate that bit too. Like, because you got to point, you know, have at least a reference point for everybody that's in that little crowd shot. I like
Runaway
those
Noob. That's my favorite one. Runaway Noob.
See?
Yeah.
That's great.
Are you still doing any theater at all? Like, do you do any shows?
I haven't in a long, 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 long time. Yeah. I only really did one theater gig when I came to Dallas. For a while, I was working with Eric Vail's comedy troupe, which was here this weekend, Folding Chairs.
Oh, yeah.
They were a good time.
Yeah, they're fantastic. I did a few shows with them. As far as theater, I did a production of Little Women when I first moved up here. That was like, it was a kids, like a school production, and they needed an adult to play Marmy. So I did that, and I think that was the only theater I've done up here, really. I've just gotten really busy in the last few years.
And
then there was a Pandy.
Only because I was talking to your security guard at your table yesterday, but he did make the comment that he was there to protect you because you play a little bit of a mommy character. Is it every once in a while? The mommy characters?
Okay, well, number one, yes, I do. That's the biggest typecast. Not really, I'm not a mommy, but that's the biggest niche I get.
Yeah.
Second comment, I don't know what you're talking about. I think that might have been somebody else.
Fair enough.
Because my handler's a lady.
Oh no.
And I haven't heard that at all. So somebody, I guess, is
somebody was
protected.
Looking out for you then. So.
Oh yeah. Who's at the table? Maybe. Could have been for Molly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so do you have any tactics for what you do when it comes to like typecasting stuff like that? Are you okay with that? Because like that's your bread and butter and that's your forte and it's comfortable and it's like a pair of shoes that you've always worn, or do you make an effort to sort of develop different aspects so you can broaden it out?
I think it definitely depends. There's some roles, I like to call them juicy roles, where Himeno was definitely one of them in Chainsaw Man.
Oh, yeah.
You really have time to play and explore and experiment, because we, in those sessions, like, Mike is not a, okay, it fit the flaps, let's move on kind of director. He's going to get the absolute best result he can from you.
Awesome.
And so that's why the Chainsaw Man dub really sings. Everybody across the board sounds great in that. That is an anomaly, though.
Gotcha.
Because Chainsaw Man is so big, it was handled with extra, extra, extra care. With the speed that things are recorded these days, it is good to have a niche and have something that people have you in mind for. Like, if it's the mommy character, another one I get a lot is like older sister, big, like cool sister or whatever.
The cool sister,
crazy aunt.
No. You know, yes, I play two alcoholic ants in sweats.
Ah, see?
And four dragons. I play two magical girls that can materialize any weapon.
Nice.
I play two magical girls whose weapon size can change at will. So, you know, you get little, like, one thing will remind the director of another thing. Oh, that's, you've done this exact thing before. Of course you can do this. Because, again, like I said, there's not always time to audition.
Yep.
If you have a thing that they think of you for, then you're in a good position for those shows that they're not going to audition for.
No, that's it.
So
it's having that tool set that they know, hey, we got to call this mechanic.
Yeah.
And that mechanic is her.
Exactly. Because you don't have time to get the wrong person.
I get it. That's awesome.
You said you're into horror. Do you ever go to like horror cons as a fan?
Yeah.
Ah.
I went to Frightmare recently.
Yeah.
I love especially slashers. Slashers are my favorite.
Okay. Who's the best? What's the best slasher out of all of them?
Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger?
Yeah.
Really?
I
can respect it.
I think he's hot.
Oh, well.
That is a hot take, because that man has been set on fire and he looks melted.
Yeah.
I don't understand it either. And I only recently discovered this about myself, that I think Freddy Krueger's hot. And
is
I don't
it the
know
voice?
What, it's the... the attitude, that's something about his demeanor,
yep.
the way he talks and moves, something.
Well, he is the man of many people's dreams, so.
He's dreamy.
I got one. No,
that's a
Nightmare
good one.
On Elm Street, that is an awesome one.
He's the funny one.
Yeah, he's the goofy, silly Looney Tunes
that's
one.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I was trying to think, because we were talking about Nightmare on Elm Street. I forget the guy's name, but he played Rorschach in Watchmen. He had to turn as Freddy Krueger for a minute. And I was
yep.
like, not quite the same. That England magic is necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have opinions. You guys said this is a positivity podcast, so I'll move on from that topic. Robert England is iconic. There's a reason.
Yeah.
It's one of those characters you can't... It's got to be him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's true. He kind of made Freddy Krueger what Freddy Krueger is.
Yeah, I honestly feel bad for the other guy that had to step into that, because it could have been anybody. Mm-hmm. Any actor that they could have gotten, you know, the most beloved actor. Who's the most beloved actor in Hollywood? Paul Rudd? I don't know. That would have been hilarious. But, I mean, they could have gotten anyone, and people wouldn't like it.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't matter. It's not even doesn't even matter how good or bad that guy is.
No.
Yeah.
He's not Robert Englund.
Sometimes you need to just put something to bed and make a new slasher thing.
Yeah.
Make a new character.
Make your own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What started it? Like, were you just like a little girl staying up too late and you saw it when you weren't supposed to on TV and you were like, I love this? Or...
Oh, I only got into horror as an adult.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Only as an adult, because as a kid I was scared. I was very easily scared as a kid. I was scared of the dragon in Sleeping Beauty.
Oh yeah.
I
was scared of the owl in the Secrets of Nim. Like
the great owl is terrifying still to this day.
Yeah.
Yikes. but so as a kid, I wasn't interested in it, and I also probably wouldn't have been allowed to watch any of it.
Same.
Anyway, so I got into it as an adult. I think the first horror movie I saw was The Shining. My boyfriend, who we were long distance for a couple years, he lives here now, he showed me that movie over the phone when we first started talking.
Nice.
It was before we could figure out like apps for that.
But so you both had to hit like play at the same time and you were on the phone? Oh, that's analog and old school. That's romantic.
And since then, he's, babe, what do you want to watch? Like, it's always a horror movie.
Nice.
I rarely pick a non-horror movie.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you do collectibles and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have so much ghost face. I'm not. I was wearing a ghost face sweater. Now I have a Himeno sweater on. But yeah, I have ghost face all over my house.
There you go. And you're still on board with the Scream franchise when where it's going?
Cause I heard, as of this week?
I get it. Yeah. So that is the recent topic.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I liked 5 and 6.
Yeah.
I think that of course you're going to miss Sydney.
Yes.
But like the heart of it isn't, as much as I love Sydney, Sydney's not the point.
Gotcha.
Scream is about horror.
Yeah.
It's about horror movies. It's about slashers. And they kept that element in the spotlight. And so I think they were good.
Yeah.
It's not stay meta, right?
We'll see what happens with 7.
Yeah. Well, I think it's time to let time pass on it.
Mm-hmm.
Let people sort of watch other horror movies, catch up on the things they missed, and then come back to Scream. It'll always be there because that concept, the meta concept, is what sells it.
Yeah.
And the first one, it's the guy is like, no, there are rules to movies.
Yeah.
You don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then Matthew Lillard at the end is like, my mom and dad are gonna be so mad at me.
Do you know he ad-libbed that line?
No.
Yeah.
That is my favorite line in the entire movie.
He's a legend, man.
Wow.
There's a whole new generation of kids that are discovering Matthew Lillard now in the Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah. There's so much thirsty fan art of him now, and it's so weird to me because that's Stu.
Yeah.
And Shaggy.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
That makes me wonder, have you ever had any ad-libs that got into something that you're like, oh, I made that up?
God, I'm blanking on exactly what the words were, but I got to do an actor's dream recently. Season 2 of The Duke of Death and His Maid, which is it's a gothic romance, but it's also a comedy. It's super silly.
Nice.
Very, very cute. I play Dolith, who's kind of the secondary, not the secondary female lead, but like she's supporting cast. She's a romantic interest girl. A witch, a very powerful witch. And
it sounds like it almost could be under the umbrella of cozy core or cottage core, though, if it's that sort of like Mr. Darcy type of vibe, maybe?
Sort of. It's to me, it's like it's horror in the same way that, like, I don't know, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's not scary.
It's just spooky things.
It's for the vibes.
Yeah, it's definitely for the vibes. Oh, my God. Highly recommend it.
Nice.
Not just because I'm in it. I don't recommend everything I'm in, I promise. But the actor's dream that I got to do this past season is there's a moment when Dolith clones herself over and over and over again. And usually when there's Walla cues in a show, it'll say like Walla town, Walla street, Walla school, you know, to tell you what kind of group of people it is. And it was just called, the cue was called Walla Dolith. The character's name is Dolith, so it was just Walla Dolith. I got to dub all of the clones over and over and over and over again. And so we had to get like 6 or 7 passes of me just goofing off. Because after a while, you can only say the same, like, you know, hello, boo, or whatever, so many times. So I started just doing goofy things. I'm over here. Or maybe I'm over here. Oh, whoa, I'm this way, over here. Oh, like, you thought I was over there, didn't you? Like, you can't catch me. Like, just getting real silly with it. Humming the theme song of the show. Just, like, anything I could think of in the moment. It's the most, like, vain, like, narcissistic actor thing that's like, I want to be everyone.
Yes. Like, but now that scene exists, so it's you talking with you and your voices interacting with each other?
Yeah.
That's
tons
amazing.
Tons of them.
It's like, it's a room full of me's. I don't know if I could handle that.
Yeah. A room full of you?
Yeah. I don't know.
I wouldn't mind it.
It'd be real loud, I'll tell you that much.
Aw.
A room full of Mikey's might be amusing.
No, I like the room full of maids and ghosts and a quaint horror. I like that.
Yeah, quaint. That's a good way. That's a good word for it.
Quaint horror.
Guillermo del Toro tried to do it with the Crimson something that I'm blanking on.
Hmm.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
Crimson Rise or Crimson Tide, but that's something else.
Yeah.
But it's a specific lane of horror, gothic horror. It's very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that like Wednesday and stuff?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah. That's a good example. It's just spooky. It's Halloween core.
Okay. I think I'm into that.
Yeah.
We've already established that Kevin's don't like horror.
Yeah, he is the scaredy cat.
I'm a very scaredy cat.
Aw. Well, then you can handle this level.
Yeah,
of
no, I like stuff like that. I just, I guess I was traumatized. I don't like dolls. Yeah. Dolls.
That's
I'm scared
fair.
Of dolls.
That's fair. No Chucky for you then.
Yeah.
Best way to heal is to confront your fears, and we should watch all the scary doll movies.
I know.
In
you
a
know
row.
What? We thought for the podcast that we might do, because we review movies every once in a while, and we thought we might, and sometimes we'll even like record us watching it. That we're going to put on the Patreon someday. And we thought we might make, like, let's make Kevin watch horror movies and see.
Oh, see how much you can take.
See how much you can. I'm an adult man. I should be.
Yeah. Have you seen any, like, A24 horror, like Midsommar, Hereditary?
Hereditary,
type?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. Always afraid. I don't watch, and like, I've the only stuff I've seen is like the stuff that when I was a teenager, you're over at someone's house,
the sleepover movies.
And I'm old, so it was like Nightmare on Elm Street, first one.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. Well, back Friday then that was terrifying.
Friday the 13th, the first one.
Yeah.
You know those are the ones that I've seen, and I was like, that's enough for me. Though I have seen a bunch of the Screams, and those are kind of like. Meta, they almost kind of poke fun at it.
Yeah, totally. They're goofy. And like, a lot of the reason I guess I like the goofier slashers because Ghostface is goofy too.
Yeah.
Ghostface gets hurt so much. He falls downstairs.
Yeah.
Gets his face slammed in the door, trips over himself.
And it has to be silent, so it's almost slapstick. It's like, I can't scream like the weirdo that's under here. I just gotta be like,
yeah.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's. Yeah.
I can get behind it with the Scream.
Yeah.
Is there any horror that you don't go for, like the too gory stuff, like your Terrifiers and all that stuff, or you're pretty much game for all of it?
I'm game for almost anything. I really love A24 movies.
So you big on the new art? I guess you could call it art house horror trend.
Yeah, art house horror. I really like just fun horror too. Like I thought Megan was great.
Oh yeah,
creepy doll kind of though.
So
yeah,
true.
I know.
And like, but there are things that I'm like, I don't care for. To see that, I don't care to put myself in that situation.
Yeah.
I'm terrified of spiders.
I
can't look at them. I can't watch car crashes either. I've been in bad ruts.
Yep.
Like I can't look at. But yeah, like I'll be watching a scary movie and I'll watch the most gruesome, awful things happen. But then like there's a car crash, I have to look away. and there's screeching brakes. Like
I get it.
There's a spider, so I have. Yeah. Oh my god! Like the first time I played this old horror game. Amnesia, the dark descent. Yeah. I was not scared of Flappy at all.
Yeah.
But there's roaches.
There are.
And the roaches are what got me.
The skittering, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Skittering.
That's
the
it.
Skittering. I'm not scared of religious horror at all. Like Exorcist type stuff does not get me. Doll horror doesn't get me. Chucky is another one of my favorite slashers. So, like, it is. It's the goofy slashers that I like.
I can dig it.
I like The Exorcist okay, though. Does that count as horror? I didn't even know.
Oh, absolutely. One of the quintessential horrors, actually.
I saw that as supernatural, which... Am I categorizing too much?
No, it's just religious horror.
Oh.
Yeah,
there's a dog here. So if you guys hear a dog...
I approve.
No, that's actually somebody cosplaying as a dog, and they're doing an excellent job.
Oh, yeah, it's a really good cosplay.
It's Pochita.
He does have a chainsaw coming out of his face. Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Let him into your heart. Yeah. It'll only end in good things.
Yeah, totally. Nothing could ever go wrong.
There you
in
go.
The universe of Chainsaw Man. Nothing bad happens.
Never.
That was a great... We really, really like that anime. It's so awesome.
So
yeah.
You got see, that's it. Horror.
Yeah, sort I of. Mean, it's Ron,
Devils,
I guess.
Monsters.
That was great.
Eternity Devils that make things go on forever. That's a horror concept.
Oh, God, yeah.
Was it fun playing? She's kind of a femme fatale, sort of.
Yeah.
Right?
She, like, I... It's strange because I, of course, as I'm sure almost every actor that received the Chainsaw Man auditions did, I auditioned for every single one that I could. I auditioned for Power and Machima, all of them, and Pochita. And I when the Himeno ones came, when the secondary round came out with Himeno and Kobeni and Reze, because we didn't know if we were going to see Reze or not.
Gotcha.
And you know, some of the characters that didn't even end up in the anime, we auditioned for because we didn't know what to expect really.
Mm-hmm.
And they only let you pick two on that round, probably because Mike had, you know, was up to his eyeballs in auditions the first round.
He would be there forever otherwise.
Yeah. So it was like pick two, and I picked Himeno and Reze.
Okay.
And I thought, well, it's like we said earlier, like you have that thing that people call on you for, and mm-hmm. mine is the deep voice assassin with black hair. It's like I've placed so many, they start to like blend together after a while. And I saw her, I was like, okay, she's smoking a cigarette, she has an eye patch, she has dark hair, she's wearing a suit, so she should sound like this. She should sound very like velvety, like she's the femme fatale. Like that's how I auditioned. But thankfully Mike knows that that's not the only thing I can do, and he cast me, and we changed the voice completely, because at the time we hadn't even heard her in the Japanese.
Yes.
So we didn't know what she was going to sound like.
Gotcha.
And so that's what you do when you get audition sides, is you make judgments based on the image that's on the side. It's usually a picture of the character, like two sentences about them, and then like four or five lines that you're supposed to read. And I assumed she was going to be this girl, you know? And she's not, she's a big goof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was something I don't get to do very often.
But it is a very engaging, exciting character. Like she's one of the characters that gets a lot of sacrifice in her storyline too. Mm-hmm. And sort of a lot of change and giving up, and that comes across in the acting as well. And it makes for a rich character.
Yeah.
It was also cool to act opposite somebody who was in The Walking Dead.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Tobin, the guy who plays Tobin, Jason Douglas.
Jason Douglas, yep.
Yeah.
He's been at the con a few times.
We interviewed him years ago.
We did.
A long time ago.
He's amazing.
Ago.
Yeah. My favorite thing about Jason Douglas is if you go into the booth right after him,
mm-hmm.
they have to bring the microphone way down. He's so tall.
Yeah, he's a big dude, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
But it's still kind of separated. Or were they actually doing scenes together for Chainsaw Man?
It's funny. That has happened. That is a thing that has happened in dubbing anime. I only know of one time that happened.
Yeah. And, usually it's not. So.
Yeah, it's always one actor. When you go in, you're in the booth by yourself, and then right outside the booth is the audio engineer and the director, and there's nobody else. So you might not meet the people. I didn't meet Reagan Murdoch, who plays Aki, until almost a year after we were done recording.
Wow.
Yeah,
the chemistry I met him. Was still there?
Yeah, I met him recently, and just randomly in the studio in the lobby, I recognized him from, you know, from online. Like I was like, that's Reagan Murdoch. And I walk up to him, I was like, hey, are you Reagan Murdoch? And he thought I was a fan. He's like, hey, what can I do for you? Like, yeah.
How are you doing?
Yeah. He's so sweet. Oh my God. Yeah. I was like, I'm Himeno. He was like, oh my God, come here. And like, so we had a big hug. Little moment, because yeah, we've acted opposite each other as these iconic like characters with this whole thing between.
Whole thing,
and we never met.
But you have met. It has since been corrected.
Yes,
you have met.
So yes, finally.
One more little nagging question though. So you said you fit into the role because that, you know, you have the dark hair and the voice, and she's an assassin, so that's fitting. What makes what part of you is an assassin? I'm sorry. No.
I slay with my comedy.
There you go.
As you saw in the panel that no one laughed.
We laughed. It was a good joke.
It was a good bit.
They were wrong.
Yeah.
They were wrong.
That's it.
Well, we don't want to take up much more of your time. We want to thank you so much for being here with us.
Hey, it was an honor. It was a blast talking with you guys.
It very much was.
Yeah. We also want to thank Anime Dallas for having us out again.
Anime Texas people are the best people.
This is number four for us, right?
Yes. Of many more.
Many more.
Yeah.
We're going to have to, like, we're going to set up shop even if they don't want us here.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll be seeing each other around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome.
Absolutely.
If you want to find out about Caitlin, where can they find you?
I am on Twitter. I'm going to keep calling it Twitter.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter as @KB. That's me. And that's B-E-E. K-B-E-E. That's me. And Instagram, Caitlin Barr VA. I'm not on Facebook. If you see me on Facebook, it's an imposter.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible. Yeah. And do you have anything else you can coming up that you can talk about that they should look out for?
Yeah, I am currently in a show on High Dive. Well, there's a lot of things I'm currently in that I can't talk about. But like most recent High Dive show is a show called The Dreaming Boy is a Realist. I play Fuka.
Okay.
That dub is coming out currently, I believe. I don't think the first episode has dropped yet, but it's this month. And on Crunchyroll, currently I am in a show called A Returner's Magic Should Be Special.
Nice.
I play Brigitte, the dark voice, velvety, smooth instructor lady.
Perfect. Mm-hmm.
So
you get to tell people what to do and tell them to follow the rules.
Yeah, and they listen.
That, mm-hmm. See, that's the best part.
Well, that's where you can find Caitlin. You can find us at Assuming Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also Gmail us, assumingpositions@gmail.com. Every week I say, Mikey, how do you want them to format the Gmail?
We were talking about horror movies, so send me a slightly creepy, scary, but, you know, fun and polite way. Mm. Give me a horror note. Like, if you want to see your opinions again, you better talk about how Scream is the best movie ever.
Tell them what's your favorite scary movie.
Please, yeah. Do you like scary movies?
Mm-hmm.
If you like what we do here, you can support us at buymeacoffee.com/assumingpod.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Caitlin. Thanks again, Anime Dallas. Thanks again, Brad, Scott, Jazzar. Thanks, our Positrons, for
all
listening. We want to thank Danny and Jen and John and
Norm.
Jay and Norm and Faust and everybody out here. Everyone's so awesome. We love you guys so much. I hope you were all listening to that so you could hear the
yeah.
Thank yous. See you guys later.
See you guys next time.